If you are able, would you stand for the reading of God's infallible and inerrant word? That means it does not fail and it does not error in what it teaches. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 13. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt into the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Now, the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, its length was 60 cubits, its width was 20 cubits, and its height was 30 cubits, and the vestibule in front of the sanctuary of the house was 20 cubits long across the width of the house, and the width of the vestibule extended 10 cubits from the house. And he made for the house windows with beautiful frames. Against the wall of the temple he built the chambers all around, and against the walls of the temple all around the sanctuary, and in the inner sanctuary he made side chambers all around. The lowest chamber was 5 cubits wide, and the middle was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide, for he made narrow ledges around the outside of the temple so that the support beams would not be fastened into the walls of the temple. And the temple, when it was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron was heard in the temple while it was being built. The doorways in the middle story was on the right side of the temple, and they went up by stairs to the middle story and the middle third. So he built the temple and finished it, and he paneled the temple with beams and boards of cedar, and he built side chambers against the entire temple, each 5 cubits high, and they were attached to the temple with cedar beams. Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon concerning this temple you are building. If you walk in my statutes and execute my judgment, keep all my commandments and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. May the Lord add to his blessing the reading of this, his holy word. Thank you. Be seated. God brought his children into the promised land. And Solomon took up the work that his father David had dreamed about, and that was to go to that holy rock in Jerusalem, and there to build a temple where the people could come and worship the true and living God. And it was said that that temple was the most beautiful building in all the Middle East. But I think the important thing to observe today is not the dimensions of the temple nor its beauty, but the great principle of God that was spoken through the mouth of his servant Solomon when he said, "Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon concerning the temple which you are building," and this is the focus, "if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all of my commandments, and walk in them, I will perform my word," and that is the promise to build a great nation, all the promises of God that preceded the building, "my word, which I spoke to you, your father David, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel." The history of the Jews is informative historically, but its greatest value is to understand that our God is a God that reveals His will and purpose in history. I believe that is different than any other religion you will look at. I've studied them all. And as we read the history of Israel, we read a number of events that really inform all of us, even today, about the will and nature of God. I read a preacher recently wrote a statement, and I agreed with it. He says, people no longer fear God because they have heard that God's love is unconditional. And there is a sense that God's love is unconditional. We don't merit it. But there's also a sense that the blessing of God's love is very much conditional. God, in His great love for us, sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But that has a negative connotation too. And the Bible's clear about that. That any who do not believe in Him are what? Condemned. We certainly have here, as Solomon speaks concerning the temple, a clear indication that God's blessing over the nation is conditional. It is conditional upon that nation obeying Him. It is conditional on that nation serving Him and serving Him alone. I think this is extremely informative to us today in the year in which we live and the times in which we live. On July the 4th, the United States of America will be 243 years old. That's almost as old as George Morris. And undoubtedly on the 4th, there'll be lots of celebrations and acknowledgments of our history. And the United States means a lot to me personally. I'm not ashamed to be an American. The first of my ancestors came to America in 1623, and the last one's in 1746. We've been around a long time. And I have ancestors and family that were in every great war fought for the defense of this nation. And I would acknowledge that I can think of no other nation that has been blessed as much as this nation. And I'm an amateur historian. I read a lot. I've studied a lot. Rome in all its greatness could not compare to the blessings this nation has received. But I think it's important to note that this nation has no guarantee in and of itself. There is no way this nation in and of itself is able to stand. As the prophet Isaiah spoke and wrote so eloquently, speaking of God, when God looks at the nations of the earth, He says, behold the nations of the earth. Writing at a time when Babylon was rising as the greatest military power the world had ever seen. He says, Behold the nations of the earth. They are as dust. For you see, the reality that undergirds and supports any nation is the reality of the true and living God. And part of the history of Israel is to tell all people, and we Americans as well, that the foundation stone of our culture and our nation must rest upon Him. And I would have you note that at the founding of this country, this nation was founded on God. And may I add, not just any old God. Not any old God. It was founded upon the God that has, the true and living God, that has revealed Himself in the Holy Scriptures. You know, they talk a lot about Google and its inaccuracies, you know, that it has a bias. Well, I've been on Google enough researching to know that it does, in fact, have a bias. So as I prepared this sermon, I pulled up the founding fathers' view of God. And the first five articles all stressed the viewpoints of Jefferson and Franklin and those who were non-Christian deists. Now, a deist, let me tell you what a deist is. A deist is like God in creation wound the universe up like a watch and then left it. But if you research out what the founders of this nation believe, the vast majority of them, Christ was central. Oh, they might quote some of these pseudo-historians we have to deal with today, passages from some writers that may make it appear they really weren't Christians, but if you research them, you will find they were Christians. Now, Thomas Paine wasn't, but Patrick Henry was. Patrick Henry was a lawyer. You know, lawyers travel about today, and what do they usually pass out? If you've been sick or injured as a result of a thing at work, call this number. You know, I had a little bump up a couple of years ago, and somebody hit me in the back, and I was fine, and the lady that hit me was fine. And for 2 weeks, I got nothing but letters from lawyers. They evidently read the police reports more than they read the Bible. Patrick Henry, when he traveled about in his law work, he carried a packet of Christian tracts. Did you know that? And he passed them out to everybody he could. Now, are these professors at some of these esteemed universities going to explain away his Christianity? Or when George Washington said, it is impossible to govern any nation without what? The Bible. And you can read again, you know, the Adams, John and John Quincy Adams. John Adams, one of the founders, devout Puritan Christians. Or Mr. Weatherspoon, who signed the preacher, who signed the Declaration of Independence. And in fact, I would just challenge you to go and read what the signers had to say about Jesus Christ. But we live in an age where in the educational system, that has been denigrated. And much of that has been sought to be denied. And there's a reason for that. Because for the last 40 years, maybe even 50, there has been an effort in America to deny the importance and role of the Christian faith in our society. And the reason for that is that the Christian faith in our society, the true Christian faith, not like some you'll find in some churches around here, the true Christian faith, denies the moral and secular values that are so common in our time. The true Christian church stands in the way of abortion and of the practice of sexual perversion, and that's obnoxious to our culture. And our culture is so secular, it wants to suppress the truth of the past. I want to let you all in on a little secret the world does not know. Now listen to me. The true and living God, the Lord God revealed in the Holy Word, is absolutely sovereign, and you cannot legislate His rule and His will out of any society. Ask the Russians, they can tell you. God has blessed America. America was founded upon a Christian worldview. What does that mean? And this is true even of Jefferson and Franklin. Their minds were shaped by Christian values and Christian teachings, moral and otherwise. Their outlook was shaped. Their worldview was shaped by the God of the Bible. That's a fact. You can drag all the professors you want to from Chapel Hill and Duke that would argue against that, and I promise you, this poorly educated hillbilly from East Tennessee could prove his case. That was the matrix that shaped that country. And that's very important, too, because the Bible teaches us a lot about value, doesn't it? Now, socialism is becoming popular in America. I can only regard that as a deepening of the stupidity of the American people. I was subjected to 2 evenings on NBC of wind tunnels. Socialism has never worked in the world. You know why? God tells us in the Holy Word that every individual is of importance to God. The founders of the country knew that. What did they base their rights on? Upon God. But socialism doesn't value the individual. It values the group, whatever particular group it deems to value. The absolute silliness of people to think that socialism has ever provided equality among people, they just don't read history. You know what? That evil man that's running Venezuela now, he's not missing meals. His power is not going off. And those of his cronies is not. The people may be eating out of garbage cans. Women may be cutting their hair off to try to feed their families, and some of them tragically making the mistake of even selling their bodies. You cannot point to one place in history where socialism has ever worked. That ought to tell you something. And the reason it doesn't work is it does not recognize the rights and the holy value given to individuals by God. I mean, some of these politicians that claim to be Christians are bad enough. They live like kings while we work. I'm sorry, but that's true. But as this nation turns away from God and biblical principles, we must not expect it to prosper. I read an article about a person that cured cancer. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I've held so many loved ones in my arms that are fighting that disease. I've held the hands of so many of my parishioners that were fighting that horrid disease. And it goes on to tell what this person did. It says, except this person never got the chance to do this because they were aborted. What are we doing to our nation? You know, the abortion industry was founded by a racist. You know that? Who thought that people of color really were not measuring up and therefore they could be controlled. If you don't believe me, read the history of Planned Parenthood. Read the history. I was personal friends with the sister of Katharine Hepburn. Her parents were wealthy socialites. The sister reported with horror how she, with her own ears, heard people of color devalued when the founder of Planned Parenthood visited their home. Wickedness, that's all it is. And any politician that supports it is wicked, ungodly, the servant of Antichrist. Sorry, I may offend some of you. They are the servants of Antichrist. And the same is true of all those who promote values that reject God's values. Now, what I tell you, remember this. God is sovereign. And his blessing of a people is conditional. And if you continue to ignore those conditions, don't be surprised when God deals with you. I've said if he did not pass by his chosen people when they were disobedient, when they were idolatrous, why do we think he shall pass us by? Now you won't hear that from Joel Osteen, but you hear it from me. God deals with sin, and God deals with sinful nations. I hope Mr. Trump knows that. I have doubts that many in Congress know that. We do not ultimately manage what happens. Don't ultimately manage it in our own life. Do you know that? I've made lots of plans that came to nothing. How about the rest of you? And in fact, everything I have in this world, as far as I'm concerned, some point in time, will be nothing to me. Everything I have will belong to someone else except this. I have this one thing. My relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail me. And I want to tell you, the nation needs to know that the only directive that will never fail them is the Word of God. And so, if blessings are conditional, and if you think we aren't being steered away from the true and living God, I want to recommend a book to you. Let me tell you something. This book will shake you up. It's written by an agnostic. I think he's moving closer to the Lord. It's written by a man that was once one of the most left-wing radical thinkers in America. He headed up the Students for a Democratic Society. Anybody here that was in school in the 60s and early 70s knows what the Students for a Democratic Society was and is. And it was a movement to push America towards socialism and communism. And they essentially took the universities over in there at that time. But Horowitz has written a book called Darkness, or The Dark Agenda. And it is the accounting of step by step by step by step who started it, the destruction and undermining of the Judeo-Christian values of our society. How many of you remember Madeleine O'Hare. Anybody remember who she was? Somebody tell me. She's a woman that got prayer out of school. She really wasn't bright enough to do it. I'm going to tell you this. She was not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But she was taken up by the American Civil Liberties Union and other leftist groups and used as a mouthpiece. The country, do you know the United States never voted to take prayer out of school? There was never a vote in Congress. There was never a vote in state legislatures. Now there have been since, you know, in some city councils and stuff. But that law was changed because they used her before a Supreme Court that, as it often does, finds principles in the Constitution that are not there. And so that's why. But anyway, his book outlines it. And of course, the reason, I'm telling you folks that the reason that our culture today is so hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ is that that gospel's values stand in the way of the destruction of our society as it was organized and the protection of individual rights. Now you say, well, that preacher's blowing smoke, that's just his opinion. You know, let me tell you something about it. We all have opinions. You know what makes opinions valid is, do they reflect the truth? Read it for yourself. But here's the truth I want us to grasp today. That the Father, the United States, moves from the living God, and His revealed principles for governing life and social order. The farther we move from Him, the closer we go to chaos. You know how there's a powerful word in the book of Genesis when it describes the creation. It says that before God's action, that the world was without form and void, just chaos. That's the word they use, Greek word they use. It all was chaos. And then God spoke His word and brought order. It is God that brings order, and He'll ultimately bring order here if we don't repent. Because His protection over us is not unconditional. God loves you and I too much to let us proceed in sin without correcting us. The believer knows that. The believer praises God, as we saw last Sunday talking about sin, praises God that He doesn't let the believer proceed into sin. He intervenes and corrects them. May not always be easy, but He will correct this nation. It may end in its total destruction as it did the southern kingdom of the Jews when Babylon took care of business. And God used, and the scriptures teaches us, a foreign unbelieving power to exert His judgment. But listen, I won't tell you, if any of y'all living in personal sin and you're not dealing with it, God's going to deal with it. Do you hear me? He dealt with me many a time. And I want to say to the nation, unless we deal with the sin in our midst, God's going to deal with us. I want to make it clear this morning, and this applies to the individual, and it applies to nations, all nations. The blessing of any life and of any nation is grounded upon honoring and glorifying God, the true God. You know, people have their own gods today. Some churches have their own gods. They call it the real God, but it's not. Some people do. Some nations do. But there's only one God, right? The Lord God Jehovah. Mighty. And so any nation that is not grounded upon honoring and glorifying God, God will not bless. Solomon made it clear. If you keep his commandment. And how can it be any more clear than in 2 Chronicles that God's blessing is conditional? He says, if my people who are called by my name shall repent and turn from their sin, I will bless them and heal their land. It ain't going to happen to the United States till that happens. And those that truly love the Lord will lead the nation back to its only foundation. Mr. Trump bothers me when he lays his blessing over homosexuality, and he's done that. Don't say he hadn't. And I won't even get into the others. If America wants to be blessed, I had a young woman in my church in Lexington, very burdened for America, and she spent out of her own pocket and had a bunch of bumper stickers made, and I took one of them, and it said, "Not God bless America." Everybody says that. But it said, "America bless God." That is true. I had one on my old hunting truck, and I stopped there to eat one time with a bunch of hog hunters up in East Tennessee, and this fella said, "Ain't that backwards?" I said, "No, sir, your thinking's backwards." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I want to tell you that the only way God will bless America is if we honor him and serve him." And he said, "You know, brother, you're right. I want one of them bumper stickers." Before God blesses us, we must bless him. And if we love the nation, we will lead it back to its true foundation. And we know what that foundation is, don't we, friends? If you don't, talk to me after church, okay? Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. "For no other foundation can anyone lay except that which is laid in Jesus Christ." You want things to really get better in America? Do you want the immigration problem to really get solved? They're all playing politics with it. Turn to the true and living God. It's true as an individual too. Turn to the true and living God, and he will bless your land. Well, when you're sitting around eating ribs and drinking Budweiser this week, and there's a lot of folks, and they're talking about what good times you're having, say, "Listen, friend, it's not Anheuser-Busch talking, it's the Lord. Listen, friends, if we don't repent and turn to God, these good times are soon over." Because let me tell you something, folks, unless there's a major repentance in this nation, I love this nation. I love it. But unless we repent and turn to the true and living God, his judgment and wrath is already on the way. I'd love to have been asking questions at the presidential debate, and I'd like to stood up and I'd like to ask Mr. Trump and all his people the same thing. Say, what's the problem in America? And I know what their answer should be. But then I would say, you folks don't have a clue what the problem is. In fact, you are a part of the problem. Because this nation is walking away from God is the problem. All this violence and killing, that's because love thy neighbor has not been written on people's heart. You know that? God bless America. And this is what I want him to bless us with. A great turning from the world and its values, and turn our nation's heart unto him. That's the only way we get it right. Only way you're going to get your personal life right. Lord, lead us to bless you. For in blessing you, we will be truly blessed. Have a good 4th of July. But so live and so witness that we might have more. Because the way we're going is not the way to have more. You know, I'm going to close with this. We know the truth. We know what will save souls. We know what will save nations. But do you know what believers are doing today? They're putting the light under a basket. We put the light under the basket because we don't want to suffer. We put the light under the basket because we don't want to be called a racist or a homophobe or whatever. And in that, we have a hand in the destruction of the nation. And we are guilty, aren't we? This is a period of history when we need real Christians, not wimps. Who are willing to die for the truth of God and be rejected and despised that the nation might be healed. And if you've got anything you love more than God, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. You're not going to be there. You can sing about when they all get to heaven, but you're just singing. Stand in the truth of God and in that truth alone. That's what it means to be a prophet. Well, hope I haven't ruined your holiday. I really do. But, you know, one thing about Lakeview, this preacher is going to preach what he really believes is the true word of God, whether you like it or whether you don't. And we've lost a few people here because of that. I'm not going to say we haven't. And you might be thinking about leaving, I don't know. But there's no other foundation except Jesus Christ for this land, for your life, for your children's lives. God's blessings are conditional. Well, that's all. I got ribs and potatoes waiting on me at the house. And you'll have to hurry to beat the Baptist to the restaurants. Thank you again.